All right. Hello and welcome into another episode of the Killer Frogs Bullpen. I'm JD. I'm once again joined by Carson. And Carson, we got a new guest on this week's show, Nathan Cross. Nate, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be on.
Yeah, we got a pretty packed show today. We're gonna do a weekend recap, Abilene Christian recap, look ahead to the first conference game of the weekend, and then do our typical MVP and our hot take segment. So let's go ahead and get it started. TCU had the Globe Life Series at Kubota College Classic this weekend. They went 3-0 on the weekend. Extra innings win against USC on Friday. A Saturday comeback, come from behind win against Arizona State, and a Sunday victory against USC. Nate, since you're the guest, let's go to start with you. Just give me your general thoughts on the weekend as a whole for the Frogs.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a good, solid weekend. I think we learned from it. And I feel like it's a growing point. I mean, the fact that we can come back from almost anywhere is great. And this team has a bunch of drive. And I'm seeing that more and more as we go. I feel like we saw both pitching and hitting, and we saw some good points in each of those. But I'm excited for this season and what it has to offer after seeing this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. Carson, what about you?
So, I mean, it's the same thing that I've been saying all season. Undefeated is undefeated. And no matter how you get there, I mean, you still haven't been beat by a team. I thought that there were some sloppy points in the weekend, but going off of Nate, being able to let up six runs and just get them right back, that is nuts to me. Like, that just shows how explosive this offense is. It shows how resilient it is. I mean, we've been talking about resiliency all season, and they just keep on raising the bar. So, I mean, I think it's really, really cool that we were able to go 3-0 even when we weren't playing our best ball.
Yeah, I think it was a good weekend for TCU overall. I think the one thing that struggles with them, and we're going to talk about it later when we get to the rankings part, is A&M played the same competition and looked phenomenal against them. While TCU needed two come from behind wins, and while it's different pitchers, different matchups, you're not going to see the exact same thing in every game. I think when I looked at A&M this weekend and I looked at TCU and I was like, these are two top tier teams. But one is clearly in front of the other right now. And that's not, I mean, we're still early into the season. We're just starting conference play this coming weekend, so it could change. TCU blew four run leads Friday and Saturday. That was actually the third overall in the week. They blew a four run lead against Washington State on Tuesday. We saw some weekend struggles from Curtis or Carson Bowen and Peyton Tolley as well. Do you guys want to talk on either one of those?
Yeah, I can kind of talk on Carson Bowen. It seems like last year, the majority of his hits were to the other side of the field. So to right field, that second first base side. This season, he's been trying to pull the ball, it seems, a lot more. And while he has the power to get it out of the yard, I don't think it's good for, I guess, the long run for this team. Like, I would much rather be him hitting for contact rather than power.
Yeah, I think we talked a we saw a lot this weekend that Carson Bowen just kind of like seemed to be getting robbed of hits. Same with Anthony Silva,
Yeah.
just making solid contact and just not being able to go with it. Nate, Peyton Tolley on the mound Friday, 4.1 innings, four walks, two hit by pitches. What did you think of his performance on the mound?
I mean, it wasn't his best performance, by no means. But what I did like is that he came back from a lot of things that could have made this game a lot worse. He gave us those four solid innings. I mean, it wasn't great, but he got us through that to where we didn't have to use another pitcher. He got us out of a few base jams that he got himself into. But so I feel like he has that leadership, and like drive to get through innings without being like too frazzled. But I think the inconsistency is what's worrying me about Peyton Tolley. But he's after talking to him last night, he's well aware of his struggles, and he's gonna bounce back, especially within the pitching realm.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
think the big thing with Tolley is we talked about it. Carson is his walks. It's really just He's hurting himself on the base path because he's gonna get the swing and miss stuff. But I think he cuts down on that, and you know, he's in a much better spot. Carson, you were gonna say something. Go ahead.
So, well, Sarlos mentioned it. He kind of, touched on Tolley and kind of talked about how he's still adjusting to kind of the top of the D1 level with the better pitching, the better hitters. And I think that I do think that he's going to get better throughout the season, especially on the hitting side. I'm kind of waiting on those at bats where he's going to be facing like 94 to 96 to see how he adjusts. Because right now it does seem like he's trying to pull everything. As you can probably tell, I'm not big on that for any hitter, but I mean, I think that he'll figure it out. I do.
And then one more thing to talk about over the weekend is just the freshman trio that we've seen playing the everyday lineup so far in Ryder Robinson, Chase Brunson, and Sam Myers. They've really stepped up, and honestly, at kind of the best part of the team right now. Sam Myers had the walk-off Friday, the walk-off single. Ryder Robinson has played at third with Brody Green out with injury, and Chase Brunson is holding down center field. And while he struggled this weekend, he's been having a great season overall. Nate, what I mean. Out of the three, who do you think is probably the most important to the team's success right now?
I'm gonna say R Ryder Robinson. The way he stepped up defensively as well has really showed his maturity as a young athlete. I think it's a great position for him to be playing both shortstop and third. I feel like he is a little bit better on the shortstop realm of it right now, and he's used to that because that's what he is used to. That's what he played in high school. And he's really shining, and he's been able to step up when injuries have arose, which has been a huge impact for this Frogs, the Horned Frog team. And I look forward to seeing his bat continue to get hotter.
Yeah, what about you, Carson?
So I've got a 1A and a 1B. So I think that Chase Brunson to me is kind of it's almost like he's like a younger Peyton Chataigner to me, where he can explode and kind of just get the team off to a really good start really quickly in the game. That's my original answer. Secondly, I kind of have to shout out Mason Bigsby
I was waiting for it.
because, oh my God, I didn't know we had 95 to 98 just like that as a freshman. And I'm sure I'll talk on this later in other episodes, but having that kind of velo is so massive when it comes to regional, super regional, and College World Series. That was something that TCU lacked last year. I mean, I think the hardest throwing guy we had was Luke Savage, and it was 94 to 95, which, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not throwing that, but there are other hitters that can catch up with that pretty easily when you get to that level.
Yeah, you know, I do have to shout out Sam Myers. I was very big on Luke Boyers on the season going into it, but Sam Myers has kind of stepped into his role and kind of overshadowed him. And
Yeah.
Luke Boyers is honestly taking it in stride, though. Like, he's still coming in as a defensive replacement. He's taking great at bats. And also, Sam Myers does not look 18. He looks like he's 23 with that beard of his. And
Yes, he does.
But I think, you know, anything else you guys want to add about the weekend series before we move on to the Abilene Christian midweek?
Well, I just want to shout out Micah Kendricks, especially his defensive standpoint,
Yeah.
especially Tuesday. He was really shining, and that he made some big time plays. And it's good to know if Chataigner goes down, he can take that spot, or he can almost play anywhere on the field. His hitting will come. He's young.
He's
So
got robbed of a couple hits now.
yeah, I
He's got
mean,
a
he's
couple.
hitting
I'm
the ball
over
hard. Yeah, he's hitting it. He's putting contact. So other than that, I mean, it's exciting to see these young players, especially get their opportunities early.
Yeah, and then before we move on from the weekend series, I do want to shout out to Kyle Ayers for his two-inning performance on Friday or Saturday. That was a great out of him. He looked great. And I'm excited to see him continue to progress. But you know, let's talk about the Abilene Christian midweek game on Tuesday. TCU won 4-4 4-0. It was kind of a bullpen game from the Frogs. There was no Ben Hampton starting, and a decently weird lineup compared to what we're used to seeing. Micah Kendrick was out there, Ryder Robinson back at shortstop. We've seen Kirk play with the midweek lineup a good bit. Nate, we'll start with you again. General thoughts on the Tuesday night victory.
I think it was really impressive. It gave our pitching a chance to rebound, especially from giving up those runs this weekend. I think he did it as a confidence standpoint, playing that many pitchers. And I feel like he's trying to save Hampton for this weekend as a long relief pitcher. But other than that, I mean, hitting's going to come back. I mean, we had an off lineup and they still didn't hit the ball bad. There was a lot of hard hit balls. Brody Green hit a lot of hard hit balls. So I'm excited about that. That will come. But pitching was really nice and it was good to see Hunter Hodges, Cademan Parker, them shine and stand up. So.
Yeah, Carson.
Yeah, that's kind of the Abilene Christian game was kind of the game that I've been waiting to see from the pitching staff, even if it was like a bullpen game where the other team doesn't have enough time to adjust to the pitcher. I still think beating an 8-5 Abilene Christian team, giving up 0 runs, is pretty impressive.
First shutout of the season, also.
Yeah, that, like I said, that's what I've been waiting for.
Yeah, you know, you touched on it a little bit, Nate. There's no Ben Hampton. Does that put Ben Hampton in a weekend slot? Does that put him in the long relief slot, like you said, Nate? Carson, what do you think the thoughts are going on? I mean, we know Zach Morris got hit in the head with that line drive on Sunday in his matchup. So, but everything that I've seen and heard is that he's okay and he should be good to go. But that's also player talk. You know how they go. Carson, do you think we're seeing Ben Hampton in a weekend role this weekend, or do you think he's a long relief?
I think that, I don't know, because Sarlos has been known to throw kind of curveballs at us a little bit. I could see Sloan or Hampton starting on Sunday, but I think if Zach Morris is ready to go, I think he's going to throw him out there for, like, even if it's only 1 or 2 innings, I still think that because Zach Morris stayed in the dugout, he didn't have to go to, like, to urgent care or anything like that. I think that he's good to go for the most part. Like, so that's what Sarlo said as well. I could see Hampton being a long relief guy after that.
Okay. And Nate, you said you think of Ben Hampton as a long relief role. If you had a pick for a Sunday starter, you taking Braden Sloan up coming off of his performance in the last week's midweek game, or would you want to see Ben Hampton slot into that Sunday role?
For this particular weekend, I'm taking Sloan. He earned it, and he's gonna have a good appearance, at least to start, I have a feeling. Zach Morris needs to have a break. I think he would come in better as relief. He's gonna be rattled. Getting hit, I'd be rattled at back there. I mean, I'd be nervous the rest of the season. So I'd give him a little bit of a take back role, use him for a couple innings, see how he reacts. So I say Sloan starts it and Hampton and Morris come in as long relief, which where you need them.
Yeah, you know, I think the interesting thing with Morris is, you know, you're talking about maybe slotting someone in that Sunday role because of the injury that happened. But if, prior to the injury that happened in the first inning, he had already allowed 2 runs. You know, his last, if he hadn't gotten out of a bases loaded jam, which I know is still a great thing, he got out of the bases loaded jam. If he hadn't gotten out of the bases loaded jam last weekend, we're looking at a completely different start from Zach Morris as
Oh,
well.
absolutely.
So his struggles have been there, and we kind of talked about them before the season that he's going to have a roller coaster start. And, you know, to what you said, Nate, if he's going to be rattled and he's already been kind of shaky, I think, hey, let's throw him in a relief. Let's maybe throw him on the midweek. He's a Sunday starter that gives him 6 days of 5, 6 days of adequate rest, anyways. Peyton Tolley, he was back in the lineup for the Abilene Christian matchup, had a home run get out in, I believe, the third inning. I think it was 113 off the bat and got over the wall in half a second, literally half a second. Is that a sign of things to come, Nate, or is that, hey, maybe he just lucked into one?
His swing's there. I mean, I haven't been left in awe of a swing. It's not like he's off. I mean, his timing is a little bit off, but I think it's the speed of these pitchers that we have seen. None of them have been extremely fast, and I think he's prepared for that fastball coming. So expect him to get hotter, and he's well aware of his struggles, like I said earlier, and I feel like he's going to adapt. He said he's working hard on the off-speed pitches, and he's looking to take advantage of more of those coming up, and he's excited for his first Big 12 series. So I expect him to have a big series and have a good hitting series as well.
Yeah, Carson, what about you?
Yeah, I do think that that home run in particular, I think he just got into one kind of based on just where the ball was and kind of the speed of the pitcher. But like I said already, I'm not focused on these at bats right here. I'm focused on the stuff that he's going to see in Big 12 play this weekend. I do think that his power is going to be something that every single team circles on their little lineup card, and I rightfully so. I mean, the dude's an absolute unit. But yeah, I kind of agree with Nate. I think that he's going to get a little bit better at the plate just overall.
Yeah, I think he's it's a good sign because he's we talked about his timing and how he's been a little late on the fastball, and he was so early on that one that I think it's a good sign of he's starting to see it a little bit better. But we've oh, one more thing before we move on. There was a Jack Schrager sighting for the first time this season, and that curveball looked phenomenal.
Yes.
It's good to see him. Carson, you've been ranting on about how great he looked over this summer, so it was great to see him. But we've talked about it enough. TCU starts conference play this weekend. They are 13-0 heading into conference play, undefeated for the first time in school history. And they're also be playing technically their second away series, but really their first away series of the season. They'll be traveling to Kansas to take on the 7-4 Jayhawks. First conference matchup. Nate, do you think it means a little bit more to the squad now, or are they treating it as the same way they've treated the rest of the weekend series?
After listening to Sarluce last night, I think they're treating it as just a normal series. I mean, they're starting off 0-0, like you said. He said there's no record. So I feel like they're just going to treat it as what they've been doing, and it's been working, so why change? So I feel like you're going to see a similar standpoint, and you're going to see a lot of rotation in the lineup. And until that stuff's working, I don't think he's going to change it. So I think they're expected to treat it as any other team like Washington State or ACU.
Yeah, Carson, first weekend, first conference matchup for the weekend. What are your expectations for the Frogs?
So my expectations are for the pitching to dominate because I think that Kansas is kind of a sneaky hitting squad, and I don't want TCU to be the victim of that. Okay. I think that TCU has the better talent on both sides of the ball, but when you say that, that usually means that you're going to drop one or two, worst case scenario. I think that let me pull it up. Yeah, Cody Shihunaga, I think that's how you say it. He has not had a good year so far. By his standards, last year in the Big 12, he hit like 335, I think. He's hitting like 290. I'm praying that this is not the series that he turns it on. But I expect TCU to handle business in this one.
Yeah, Kansas, like you alluded to, is a very sneaky good hitting team, but I want to touch on their pitching. Their starting rotation on the season, they're three guys. They're Friday, Saturday, and Sunday guy. Reese Dutton, the Friday guy, is a 2.4 ERA on the season, a 190 opponent batting average. Dominique Vogel, the Saturday guy, is at 1.80 ERA and 218 opponent batting average, and Patrick Stites has a 0.61 ERA at 236 opponent batting average.
Yeah.
The key to this weekend is getting past their starters because their bullpen all has a majority of over a 7 ERA. Nate, we you know it's we're coming into this week, and what are your thoughts when you look at Kansas and their roster?
They got a solid roster. They definitely have that starting pitching that's going to elevate them to a high level early in the game. I mean, they've played some decent squads like Kentucky, Washington State, Texas State. I mean, they haven't had a shabby start to the season. So TCU should not take them lightly. And I think if we can get to their starter early, as we have all season, I feel like we're going to come away with a very successful week, and we'll get to them easily. But if we can't get to that starter early, it could be a problem, because I expect their bullpen to start evening things out, because they're just trying to figure things out early as well.
So one thing that I'm noticing when I look at their schedule, when they are away, it looks like they average about 5.5 runs a game. When they're at home, they average 11. Just
Yeah.
something to kind of think about. Just something
Okay.
to
I
kind of
mean,
think about. I'm just saying.
I have heard the ball does fly down there in Kansas. Kansas has a lockdown closer though of their own, with Hunter Scranton. He's a 4.2 inning pitched on the season, 0 ERA, only 2 strikeouts, but Kansas does a very good job of limiting walks, and TCU is fourth in the country in walks right now. So it's gonna be a good battle to see between the two. Carson and Nate, I'm going to ask you guys and project the weekend rotation for me. Let me know. I assume, let me know your Friday, Saturday, Sunday start if we see any changes this week. Carson, we'll start with you.
So I'm going to go off of Peyton Tolley playing last night. So I'm assuming that he's 100% right now. I think it's Tolley, Klecker, Sloan.
Okay,
I think that's
Nate.
what I think that's what it is.
I could see it being the same thing. But the way Saarloos was talking, I could also see it being Morris again on Sunday. He did not seem like he was frazzled about the idea of Morris coming back and playing this weekend. And he said he will be in the rotation. Whether that be bullpen, he said he will be available. So I could see that happening.
I think the Saturday starter is the only position that is completely locked down with Cole Klecker, because Sarlo's talked heavily about how he wants to split up the lefties. And the only other options between Tolley and Morris are Hampton and Sloan, who are both lefties. That Saturday is pretty much a lockdown position. I assume Tolley's still, I wouldn't hate to see Tolley get a Sunday start and you throw like Braden Sloan on a Friday night. Just kind of switch it up a little bit. Let Tolley go on the Sunday, so he doesn't have that pressure of being the day one of the weekend starter. And I think it might be a little bit better on his end. So, anything else you guys want to talk about when we talk about the Kansas matchup?
I think I'm good.
Yeah, I
All
think I'm good
right.
too.
Let's go ahead and jump into our MVP conversation for the we'll recap last weekend. And we'll go ahead and make our guesses for this week. Last weekend, it was just you and I on the podcast, Carson. We're hitting. I had Logan Maxwell. You had Peyton Schott and Yang. I'm going to go ahead and take that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Peyton
It's
didn't have a bad weekend, but I mean,
I know,
he only walked twice Friday.
again, it sucks because Peyton didn't hit bad. It's just that the other guy hit better.
Yeah. And then when it came to the pitching MVP, you have Peyton Tolley, and you're going to go ahead and win because my choice is Zach Poyer, who only had one appearance on the weekend, and it was not a good one in Friday night's game. So that puts the overall season standings. Carson, you have 2.5 points on the season. I have two, and our guests have half a point. So Nate, you can't get that zero spot, all right? So, Carson, we'll start with you. Let's go ahead and start with our pitching MVP
Okay.
guesses for this weekend.
Pitching. Oh, I want to choose Mason Bixby so bad. Just on the off chance that he comes out and throws like four scoreless innings or something. No, I'm gonna go with Cole Klecker. I think that he's gonna follow up on his performance from this last weekend. And I think that he's actually going to be even better. I think that he's going to go 6.5, possibly 7 innings.
Yeah, Cole talked about developing that cutter, and I think
Yeah.
it'll be interesting to see if teams can start adjusting to it yet, or if he's still able to cruise. Nate, what about you? Who's your pitching MVP guest for the weekend?
I'm gonna go with Hunter Hodges. I liked what I saw in the past few games. He's been able to shut things down, and especially that one game. I forgot what game it was, but he came in, and if Sarlous wouldn't have taken him out, I think he could have shut the game down.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
But his arm is looking really nice this season so far, and I expect it to even get better. And Sarlous expressed that he wants a bigger role, so expect him to be a big arm this weekend.
Yeah, speaking of, if he had left Hunter Hodges in twice, it would have closed the game. He could have done it Friday, but I'm not. I digress. I digress. You guys left the easiest option out there for me to take, and it's Ben Abelt. Ben Abelt had a bad performance on Tuesday night against Washington State, a bad performance Friday night against USC. He's due for a bounce back weekend. He's had the last week off basically resting, so he's going to be well rested. He won't be stressed. And he still is the go-to closer for the team, regardless of those last two performances.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to come in and play a big part of this weekend's matchup. So let's go to hitting. Nate, we'll start with you on this one. Go ahead and give out your hitting MVP.
Going to go with Ryder Robinson. I've liked what I've seen from him, and I don't expect him to go cold, so I expect him to have a big weekend.
Okay, I like that one. What about you, Carson?
I'm gonna go. Tell you what, I'm gonna stick with Peyton.
Okay.
I'm sticking with him.
All right, I like it. I was trying to decide between mine and you know the first one is gonna be between Brody Green. I love that man. And couldn't get myself to bring myself to get him because I don't know if he's gonna start this weekend. He could get a
Yeah.
DH role starting this weekend if he's still kind of nursing that leg injury. But Ryder Robinson's playing great at third, so I don't think he's gonna see enough action. But I'm going Anthony Silva. He had a rough weekend at Globe Life, and it wasn't really his fault. He was making really good contact with the ball. It was just always right at USC or Arizona State player. And, he didn't play Tuesday night, didn't play Sunday. He's gonna be well rested. I think he's due for a big weekend. And Carson, you've mentioned it a little bit this season that he hasn't looked the same as what you thought he would so far. And I think eventually, he's due for that to come back on. I think this weekend kicks it off.
Yeah, it seems like he's kind of been hunting fastballs, where last year that wasn't what he really thrived on. Like, he can hit both off speed and fastballs, but off speed last year, man, he was hitting gap to gap.
Yeah, I he's due for a resurgence, and I
I think
think it's
so.
gonna come soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, let's get into our last topic of the day, and it's our hot take segment that we started doing last weekend. Nate, I'll ask the first one to you, and then we'll kick it over to Carson to get his thoughts on it. Are TCU's come from behind wins a sign of a good team or a sign of a lucky team?
Sign of a good team. I mean, you can get lucky once, but to do it 2 to 3 times already, is impressive. And it shows that this team doesn't want to give up, if anything. And the fact that any part of the lineup can go off at any moment, even the freshman, that's not luck. I mean, seeing different pitchers is not luck. So I think it's a sign of a good team.
Yeah, Carson, your thoughts?
I mean, Nate took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, if we're talking just good or lucky, it's good, because I don't think I've ever seen a team buy into the idea that you're never out of a game so quickly in the season. I feel like that is something priceless in college baseball, especially when you're a top five team and you're playing, I mean, you're playing as a top five team every week, you know?
Yeah, I will agree with both of you guys that it's a sign of a good team, but I will say it's probably 70-30. Because if it was like they were down by 1 run or 2 runs and they're coming from behind, that's a great team. They know how to win, they know how to fight through the adversity. But sometimes being down 4 runs and then putting up a 6 spot takes a little bit of luck to, get with that. And, Carson, I think we've talked about enough with the team is that even when they fall behind in a game, and Nate, let me know if you share the same sentiment, but when TCU falls behind in a game, I kind of don't feel like, oh man, this game's over. Like when they had a 6 spot put on them by Arizona State, I wasn't like, oh man, this game's over, they're done. I was like, hey, this, you know, they still got a bat. There's still a chance.
Yeah.
Let's go with our second hot take. Should TCU be the ranked number one team in the country? There's only 5 teams undefeated. They are currently the highest ranked undefeated team left in the country. They currently sit behind, by most rankings, it's Wake Forest, LSU, Arkansas, and Florida. Do you, you know, Carson, let's start with you on this one. Should TCU be number one in the country?
Frogball fans are going to hate me, but no. Okay. This team has too many inconsistencies right now. The relief pitching is suspect. The starting pitching, I think, is a little suspect. I think that TCU has the tools and has the talent to be a top five pitching staff, but it's kind of finding where all of those guys feel comfortable pitching. That's kind of the hard part right now. And Sarlos obviously is still working on that and is still kind of figuring out what dynamics work on the mound. I think that you'll learn a lot more about this pitching staff once we get into Big 12 play here soon.
Yeah, Nate, what about you? Should TCU be ranked number one?
I wouldn't say number one, but they should definitely be number one or number two. I think it's about earning it, and they've earned it so far. And I think it's kind of disrespectful what they have done to Texas A&M and TCU. And Florida is a big joke. I'll put that out there right now. They are choking on every aspect. And the only team that I agree with being up there right now is Wake Forest. And they've shown that they've been able to shut people out pretty well. I mean, they've lost one here and there, but TCU being undefeated is it's just disrespectful to leave us at number five.
Yeah, you know, I do agree with you that Florida we should definitely be at least ahead of Florida. I will make the argument, and I don't like A&M in the slightest, and Schlossnagel's over there coaching them. But if you're going to say, hey, TCU needs to be number one because they're undefeated, then I'm sorry, A&M has to be in front of TCU. They've just looked like the more complete team right now, but I do believe that TCU should move up. And I do believe TCU will move up after Florida got dismantled by UCF during midweek today.
Jack Caglione is the only one they've got. I'm sorry. That's the only guy that I fear.
Yeah.
I don't think they're good. Besides that.
And we have
So.
our own Jack Caglione at home. He's just finally getting hot right now.
We have a Jack Caglione. He's bigger.
Speaking of our own Jack Caglione, our last hot take question of the night. Peyton Tolley should focus on hitting or pitching only. And if you agree, tell me which one. Nate, start with you.
I'm gonna say I want him to focus on pitching. I feel like he's the guy that could give us those long innings, and he could be that dominant guy. I mean, right now, I'm more confident in Klecker, but the rate that Tolley gets those strikeouts impresses me. And so, if he can refine the walks and getting into those jams, it's gonna be impressive for his resume. And just see him hit just like a cup few times a week. But right now there's so many hitters that I'd rather him focus on the pitching aspect that we need more.
Okay. Yeah, I do agree. Carson, what about you?
So I don't agree. Okay. And I'll tell you why. I think it's kind of a just maybe it's my preference, but whenever I think about a pitcher that can hit as well, I always think of it how they treat it sometimes at the MLB level, where that pitcher will get DH'd for the day that he's pitching, and then he'll hit the next 2 days or the next 2 or 3 days of the series. So I'm interested to see if Sarlos does that. Just because I think that maybe having him do everything one day and then nothing for the rest of the weekend is kind of messing with him. I would rather him pitch on Friday and then focus on hitting Saturday and Sunday, so it's all he has to worry about.
Yeah, I think both of you make really great points, and I do think that Tolley came to a good situation where He doesn't have to focus on pitching or hitting, but if he was able to, he could. The lineup's so deep that, I think I'm almost at the point where I'd rather him focus on pitching if I had to pick, simply because, we're trying to get him started in the DH role, trying to get him hot, trying to get him going, because that just makes the lineup so much better. But then we're not giving to at bats like Jack Basir or Brody Green, or like Luke Boyers could be in that DH role. I think it kind of takes away from guys who could be contributing at a higher level than Peyton Tolley is right now. I'm not saying that he can't get to that point, but right now is right now, and that's what Kirk likes to play for, and I think it's what the team's currently playing for. Think that'll do it for today's episode. Do you guys have anything else you want to add before we close this one out?
I think it should be a good weekend of baseball. I'm excited to see how the pitching does against Big 12 ball, and I'm just excited to see him back in action.
Yeah, first weekend of conference play. Next week we'll be going to two episodes a week. The weekend recap and the midweek preview will come out Monday night slash Tuesday morning, and then we'll do our normal Thursday night episode where we do the midweek recap and the weekend preview. Nate, it was a pleasure having you on with us today. Tell the people where they can find you at. What are your socials?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter. Honestly, I don't remember my deal, but you can find it on my on the Killer Frogs website. And go follow me there. Or you can follow me on Instagram, cross4352, and just look for some all of our articles that we write and stuff. So put some love on that.
Yeah, we appreciate you joining us. Carson, it's a pleasure as always, and I think that'll do it for today's episode. We look forward to a good weekend of ball, and I'll see you guys Monday night.